Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
I'll check my wallet for my ID, but I'm pretty sure I'm Wayne. The key fit in the door, so I think I belong here.
You look like him, so...
It's the shirt, isn't it?
Yes, that's the shirt. So, all right, we'll go with it. Okay. So, here we are.
Once again.
People are really wondering about us now. So we have been reviewing an article by Dennis Rainey from Family Life called 40 Lessons from 40 Years of Marriage. And we have been through the first 20 lessons. So we're starting back up today with lesson 21.
Yep. So what episode are we on, my love? Because I really messed you up here.
You did. 85.
That was a good year. I remember that one, too.
It was a good year. Mm-hmm. It's the year our daughter was born.
It was.
Anyway, number 21.
Number 21. Suffering will either drive you apart or it will be used by God to merge you together. Boy, wasn't that a good one?
Yeah, that is a good one.
You know, says Scripture teaches that our response to God and His Word is a difference maker in how we handle suffering. You and your spouse have to decide to suffer together rather than falling apart. Boy, that's a choice.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I saw a lot of this in my work when I was the March of Dimes Thank You Family Support Specialist. When people have a baby who has serious medical needs or they have a baby who doesn't survive the NICU, doesn't come out, I've seen many of those marriages fall apart. And lots of times the husband can't deal with all the medical attention that's paid to the child. I saw this on almost all of the women on my committee were, I shouldn't say not almost all of them, but a good portion of them were divorced. Their husbands had left them because they couldn't deal with the intense medical issues of their child. So yes, that is a great point. And I can see that the women that were still with their husbands that were on that committee had a strong faith. That was a strong part of their life together, their faith and being in touch with God. And so that is for sure.
So 22 kind of goes along with that. It says men and women process suffering very differently. And we've talked about that before, how we process things and stuff.
Right.
How it's so different because, well, in our marriage, I've always wanted to be the fixer. And oftentimes I should have been the listener.
Yes. I just wanted you to listen. I didn't want you to fix it. I just wanted you to listen to me. Yeah, it goes on to say about this, it's a wise husband who gives his wife space and grace to process loss and suffering differently from how he processes it. Dennis goes on to say that after his wife recovered from several near-death experiences where her heart raced at over 300 beats a minute, he remembered wanting her to flip a switch and move on with life. And that was easy for him to say. He had been the one who they took away in an ambulance with a heart beating so fast that the bed was shaking. Yes. So we can't put ourselves in the other person's position. If you haven't experienced the same thing before, it doesn't work. It doesn't. You may think you know what it's going to be like or what it's like, but you don't. And people do have to process things. And women and men, since we very much think differently,
we process differently
as well.
Yep. And number 23, loss is a part of life and increases as we age. And he goes on to say how you and your spouse process loss by faith will determine whether you grow old and bless others, giving them life, or whether you grow old and curse others, becoming a bitter, crotchety old person.
Process loss well. And loss comes in many different ways. You tend to lose people to death.
Could be loss of a job.
Loss of your independence, loss of being able to do something that is really important to you. a lot of things can change, and that is something that you have to process. Mm-hmm. A lot of processing. These three were about processing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even loss of a pet.
Yeah, loss of a pet. Yep. Mm-hmm. Loss of your house. Oh, yeah. Loss of, yeah. You have to move, you have to downsize because you can't stay in the same space anymore.
And it can mm-hmm. be something that affects you, or could be affecting you or your spouse or your whole family. If you're married and have little kids, it can have all kinds of effects. Right. Like little kids,
right.
You know.
Yes, because yeah. loss certainly isn't just when you're in the end stage of your life.
Right.
And, I mean, that's what he says. It's part of life. It increases as we age. But I know a lot of younger couples that have suffered a lot mm-hmm. of loss.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's number 24?
24. Communication is the life giver of a relationship. Well, that's something we've talked about quite a bit mm-hmm. is communicating.
Yes.
Simply put, find a way to get 5, 10, 15 minutes together to talk every day. Turn the TV off, set the computer aside, take a walk, and just talk. He said they used to do this and walk and talk in their gardens. The kids thought we were just going out there to see the flowers, but we were actually going there to get away from them, to get a complete sentence in between each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have to make a way to make it work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have the last one. I'm sometimes around our grandkids, we have one that likes to talk quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know sometimes being around some of the kids at our youth group and stuff, some don't want to say anything, and others you can't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. But I think this tip of making sure that you create time, because you and I try to have dinner together mm-hmm. every night, and that's the time we can just sit and talk mm-hmm. while we're enjoying our dinner.
And even if we don't have dinner together, we always try to find a time to just talk and talk things out and
mm-hmm.
talk about each other's day.
Let's see, number 25. No shepherd can lead any faster than the sheep can follow.
Ooh, I like that. Hmm, interesting.
You are the guardian of your marriage and family's direction and vision. C.H. Spurgeon said it was by perseverance the snail reached the ark. Sliming my way to the finish line is the great hope for me as the spiritual leader of my family. After you fail, and you will, get back up. I like that he mm-hmm. used that analogy of the snail sliming my way to the finish line.
I like that.
Sometimes that's what it feels like.
Yeah,
He goes on to say, when the kids were young, our family devotionals were chaos. Flipping peas, spilling milk, crawling under the table. Who knows what they heard? No shepherd can lead any faster than the sheep can follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. What's number 26?
Maximize your wife's talents, gifts, experience, and passion as you would an Olympic athlete. Ephesians 5 talks to men about loving their wives as they love their own bodies. Help your wife accomplish everything that God has in mind with her. Do an inventory of her gifts, her talents, her passions, what motivates her, what demotivates her.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for her and her vision. What are her core competencies? Dream some dreams together. Don't wait until you're in the empty nest to dream the dreams. Start dreaming even when you're building your family.
I wish we would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just muddled through.
Mm-hmm. We did not have a long-term plan.
No, we didn't have a long-term plan.
I don't think we had a short-term plan.
No, I don't think we had any plans sometimes. So I wish we had. I wish we had talked about what we would like our future to be like once we got past the child-rearing mm-hmm. stage. And I think we would have done a lot of things differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
Yep. So, number 27.
Let's see. Wives, your respect will fuel your husband and your contempt will empty his tank. I've often said this. Women want love. Men want respect. Let's see. This goes on to say Ephesians 5:33 commands wives to respect their husbands. Ladies, keep in mind that 93% of all communication is nonverbal. How are you at expressing belief in your man nonverbally? Dennis goes on to say that his wife's belief in him as a man has helped him to excel. It's not a blind belief, but it's a belief that speaks the truth in mm-hmm. love. Do I convey respect to you? Do you feel that?
I think so.
I don't mm-hmm. have to worry about nonverbal cues because usually I say what I'm thinking.
Typically.
But I think a lot of women do, rather than say something, they will use body language and they will use the death stare.
The look.
We joke about the look because we're not usually serious when we're mm-hmm. employing the look. Mm-hmm. But
well, it depends on who we're employing the look mm-hmm. on.
Yes. I know that I try to do my best to show respect to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What's 28?
Number 28, women spell romance differently than men. Women spell romance R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P, but men spell it S-E-X. God and his cosmic genius has brought two very different people together in their marriage who are to dance together. And what an interesting dance when I think that I understand my wife. For example, I bring her roses, write a note, fix dinner, put the kids to bed, and that equals sex. So as a man, I begin to think A, B, C equals D.
A plus B plus C equals D.
What did I say?
You just said A, B, C, D.
Oh. Communicate. So I try it again the next night or perhaps a few nights later, but it doesn't always work. So he went to his wife, what's the deal? You changed the equation. Would you like to know what she said? As a woman, I don't want to be reduced to an equation. I want to be pursued as a person relationally.
Okay. Yes, so men don't think there's any formulas out there because there aren't.
There aren't.
All right, number 29.
Ooh, your marriage must be built to outlast the kids. Our romance gave us children, and our children tried to steal our romance. Wow.
That's an accurate statement.
He said him and his wife make an effort to have special dinners together and go on short getaways two or three times a year. And they fought to keep these times on the schedule. It was a hassle finding a babysitter, but time alone together was worth it. Oh, wow. That's the end. We made it to 30.
Well, we have some more time. You want to see how far we can get?
We can.
Yep. Let's keep going. Okay. What's number 30?
Build too many guardrails around your relationship rather than too few. Okay. Now I understand what he's saying. Men, don't trust yourself alone with the opposite sex. I've asked people to go out of their way to take me to speaking engagements instead of one woman taking me. I have a friend who won't go in an elevator alone with a woman. They said Billy Graham wouldn't do that. You may say that's a little extreme, but let me tell you, given the fallout in ministry today, it's not an extreme.
Yes, you never know when somebody is trying to set you up, when you're especially if you're a public figure. And I want to remind our listening audience that, because we didn't say it this time, we said it the other two sections that we did of this, we are reading these cold. We did not prepare ahead of time by reading through them. So if we're stumbling over a little bit, it's because we just wanted to give our
first impression,
our first reaction to these as we shared them with you. So that's why we're not as polished on this one. Let's see. 31. Wives, generously use your sexual power in your husband's life. Dennis goes on to say, I think that one of the mistakes we make when we read chapters 5-7 in Proverbs, which is a father's advice to a son about the harlot, is to believe that sexual power over a man is limited to just a woman in the streets. He goes on to say, I think Proverbs 5-7 gives women an interesting glimpse into how to encourage and bless their husbands by speaking love to them in a language that would encourage him. Ladies, use your sexual power liberally with your husbands.
Number 32, the first essence of rearing children is identity. This has to do with disciplining your child to know his or her spiritual identity and spiritual address. It also has to do with his or her sexual identity as well. The culture is seeking to distort the image of God embedded in boys and girls. We have to help our children know how to navigate these waters. I wasn't sure what he was talking about when he said their spiritual address.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. It's an interesting phrase. But I think
maybe spiritual destiny, maybe?
Well, their spiritual address is maybe what they believe.
That could be.
You know, who they worship, what their faith is. It's you can always, I mean, our grandsons learned at a very young age that they, you know, wanted to be like Jesus, and that's been their goal to do that. So, you know, I think that's what they're talking about, is making sure they know what the family believes, because eventually they have to take on their own beliefs. They can't coast on their parents' faith. Children have to be able to take their own beliefs, but you have to instill in them what your family's faith values are. You can't just let them guess about them.
They need to know.
Right. Yep. Okay, and number 33 is the second essence of rearing children is relationship. Disciple your child to know what real love is, how to love another imperfect person, and how to experience love as a human. The great commandment makes it clear in Matthew 22:34-40. Life is about relationships. It's about a relationship with God, loving Him, and it's also about loving others on the horizontal.
Okay. Should we keep going?
Yes, let's keep going. We got a little some time left here.
Okay. So number 34, the third essence of rearing children is character. And how the book of Proverbs talks about this, obviously, it is disciplining your child to be wise and not to be a fool.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Well, yeah.
That includes teaching them to be responsible with money.
Yep. So number 35, the fourth essence of rearing children is mission. It's no mistake that the scriptures compare children to arrows in the hands of a warrior. Arrows are meant to be pulled back by the archer, aimed at a target, and let go. Oh, I like his next question. What are you aiming them towards? What are you challenging your children to give their lives to? Kingdom's work is paramount. We're going to need another generation to carry on what Christ, or should Christ tarry.
Yep. We need to train them to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 36, determine your core values as a couple. Dennis goes on to share that in the early years of his marriage, they went on a little retreat together. They separated and got alone, and they both wrote down their top 10 core values of what they wanted to produce in their children. Then they got together and they prioritized them, agreed on their top five. Those five helped them not to compare their family with other families, but to do just what God had called us to do, and it helped us be one as a couple. That is a great idea. Mm-hmm. I wish somebody had taught us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we settled on it okay, but it was, it was to have those specific core values would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
So just to go through the last three, and again, I'm going to put this article in the description so you can check it out. So number 37 is to interview your daughter's date and train your sons not to be clueless.
Mm-hmm.
Number 37.
That was 38.
38 is become smaller, not bigger, in the lives of your adult children. Number 39, he says, as I get older, I want to laugh more with my wife, gripe less, and be found guilty of giving her too much love, grace, and mercy rather than too little. And number 40 is have a view of God that will guide you all of your days.
Mm-hmm.
What you think about God is important. Your view of God, of who He is, and the blueprints of His Word will guide you all of your days through many valleys and mountaintops in ministry and in life. All right.
Yep.
So we got through 40. We didn't think we'd be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, check out this article for yourself. Read through it and talk to your spouse about these things. And I would highly suggest that you implement some of these things. I wish we had known about these things years ago. It would have, I think, made our marriage better and maybe made some of the choices we made as parents better. So, all right. So till we talk to you again next time, we pray that your marriages and relationships will be richly blessed.
God bless.
Bye. Bye now.